Welcome back to the Wavebreak podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Kelly, the founder of Wavebreak. We help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. Every week on the show, I interview the people behind the top Shopify stores and I get them to share their secrets. If you're enjoying the podcast, subscribe on iTunes or you can sign up for our podcast email list in the show notes below. It's down there. Just click the link, type in your email, and you'll get the brand new episodes emailed to you every single Monday. Now, this episode is brought to you by Wavebreak, my e-commerce email marketing agency that works exclusively with Shopify and Shopify Plus stores. Now, if your email marketing is underperforming, maybe you don't have time to do it, or you don't know what to do when it comes to your email marketing, or maybe it's a combination of all three of those things, at Wavebreak, we help Shopify stores maximize their email revenue with done-for-you email marketing. We got Black Friday coming in hot, and if you want to improve your marketing, now is the time to do it before it's too late. You don't want to just spam and blast your email list as soon as Black Friday hits, and most importantly, you don't want to forget to send an email at all because you're leaving so much money on the table. So get started now. Get started as soon as possible. To do that, you can schedule a call with me, Dylan, by going to wavebreak.co to learn more. That's wavebreak.co. Click the button, schedule a call, and I will see you there. Now, without further ado, we've got a great episode for you with Michael Eugenio from Sellbrite. Basically, here's the deal. Amazon and other marketplaces are growing every single year. Amazon's just taking over. There's so many sales channels online. And if you're not selling on any of these other sales channels besides your Shopify store, you're missing out. And so today on the show, Mike and I, he knows multi-channel retail unlike anybody else on this planet. Listen to this episode to learn why you should be selling on other marketplaces, as well as the easiest ways to get started. So without further ado, let's hop right into this episode. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Michael.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Before we dive into the details, I'm going to hype you up a little bit. You've got loads of, or actually, I'm going to let you do the talking because you've got loads of experience in e-commerce. Who are you and what's your story?
Yeah, cool. Well, thanks again. I, like every good e-commerce veteran, started my career in the beer industry of all places. Naturally, you know, the segues into e-commerce are clear there. I actually did start in the beer industry. Working in e-commerce, was working for SAB Miller, who had just acquired a brewery, an Italian brewery called Peroni. And that was really my first job. I was a product marketer with them, helping them promote and launch a brand, the Peroni brand, which was really being reintroduced in the U.S. Being in the beer industry is awesome. It's very different from e-commerce. You're constantly on the move and you're constantly drinking a lot, although some would argue that that's not different from e-commerce. Taught me a lot of really, really kind of key things. The first thing that it taught me was how to sell. So this is kind of a key skill that I didn't really come to appreciate until later. But the first time I was asked to try to sell Peroni to a bar owner, I remember talking to that guy and kind of my eyes went from talking to him to looking at the bottle of beer and talking to the product and talking about the product and forgetting who I was even talking to, what I was doing there, but kind of getting caught up in what I knew and mostly talking to myself. I realized after crashing and burning that time, actually much, much later, how people do that all the time today in trying to sell whatever it is that they sell. They end up kind of talking to either themselves or talking about themselves or talking about their product instead of really talking to a direct person or the customer or the person that you're trying to sell to. So that was one of the things that I really learned early on in my career. More of what I did was promoting the brand, promoting the product, coming up with creative ways to merchandise the product. At the time, Peroni was, like I said, being relaunched in the U.S. and they were spending some money. So we got to produce all sorts of different kinds of events. And that was really neat, getting to engage with potential customers, getting to show off the personality of the brand and again, like kind of merchandise the product in a non-traditional way. So fast forward a couple of years, I was looking for a change. If I wanted to continue in the beer industry, I would have had to move to Milwaukee, which cool town, liked Milwaukee, but wasn't looking to move there at that time in my life. I was about 25 years old. And wanted to do something where I could still kind of engage in that brand building aspect of what I'd been doing with Peroni, but maybe not so much like out hustling and physically selling kind of account to account. Personally, I've always been an analytical guy. I've liked working with data, but wasn't really very polished aside from what I had really done in school and in you know, with my finance degree, which if there are any finance degree holders out there, or finances, a lot of people say they say that I say it wrong. Like many of you, after graduating, I never did anything with finance ever again. And like I said, I went right into the beer industry.
Yeah, I've interviewed so many people on this show alone who like run e-commerce stores or something. It's like, oh yeah, so my background's finance and whatever.
Yeah.
And then now here they are on this podcast talking about e-commerce.
Yeah, totally. I remember telling myself as a senior in college, I was going to graduate and then never do this ever again. And that's pretty much held true. Although being an entrepreneur, you know, there are certain things that come into play. Wanting to get more kind of data focus with my work, I really kind of stumbled into e-commerce. So I ended up moving. I was living in Atlanta at the time. Ended up moving to Los Angeles after deciding I was going to leave Peroni, and fell in with an e-commerce company in the home improvement world that had a really cool business model. So they operated a network of different websites, about 20 of them at the time. And each website was dedicated to one brand, one manufacturer. These are home improvement brands. So we're talking like power tools, consumer electronics, or kind of like professional electronics, vacuums, water heaters, stuff like that. And I was brought in to help work with the brands, help them create promotional concepts on the websites, on the different properties that we had, and then also help with buying. So that was really where I cut my teeth in analytics, learned more about how to purchase, how to source for excess and obsolete inventory, distressed inventory, the value of exclusive inventory, things like that. And we grew that business. Eventually, I was managing a portfolio of about 20 of the websites. By the time I left, they had about 40, and grew that business from around $30 million a year when I joined to nearly $100 million. So it was a pretty wild ride over the course of about 4 years. So in that experience, I learned how to analyze data, how to work with data, learned how to be selective with my time and what I was going to focus on. Because in e-commerce, you know, I think a lot of listeners to this podcast know that there's always something that you can be doing. You can always be optimizing your imagery or optimizing SEO or focusing on buying or focusing on pricing or trying to figure out how to improve, drive more reviews or focusing on fulfillment. And then you got to do almost all of those things. But, you know, finding what is going to create the most impact, finding what works for you, finding what works in general, and focusing on those things is a lesson that I learned at my time with CPO was the name of that company. Then, by the way, that's like easier said than done. I mean, we oftentimes don't realize what's not working, but we spend lots and lots of our time and our money on it, and then we're behind or we fail. So really important to kind of realize where you can be impactful with your business and know that if there's other things that need to be done, if you need somebody to improve your SEO, you know, maybe it's worthwhile to bring on an expert, or if you need someone to improve your email marketing, which, you know, I know, Dylan, you guys do at Wavebreak, like it might be worthwhile to bring in an expert, and focus on where you can deliver value and let the experts handle where they can deliver value. But anyway, after a few years as a buyer merchant, my business was changing a lot. Not only were we growing a lot, but I realized it was harder and harder for me to comp against my same store sales. So I operated that network of websites. And each year I had to, you know, grow sales on those websites. But what I saw was more and more sales moving to the marketplaces. So we were early sellers on eBay and Amazon. We were a top 30 Amazon, top 30 eBay seller. You know, would be invited in to meet with Meg Whitman, I think was at the time, was running it, and John Donahoe. Anyway, so we were experiencing a lot of growth there. And I realized that more of my time is being taken up by the marketplaces. I need to actually merchandise marketplaces a little bit differently. They may require different kinds of promotions or just like different categories and brands, and I purchase differently for the marketplaces. And not only that, but on a day-to-day basis, in terms of managing the things that need to be managed and managing my data, getting my products on the marketplaces, there weren't really great tools for that. So we were a pretty decent sized retailer, but we could not afford to hire the kind of prevailing solution at the time for managing your listings and getting product listed onto the marketplaces, which was called Channel Advisor, which is still around today. Channel Advisor, even when you're doing $50 million a year, is prohibitively expensive if you're a business with small margins. And they kind of tax you on everything that you've done historically to date as well. At that size, you're kind of in a build or buy mode. So we were fortunate to be able to build our own solutions and have some people managing data, like our own little data team. So we got by there. But I realized that it was hard for us to do that, and it hindered my ability to be successful. But I knew that there was an opportunity out there for brands and retailers smaller than us that could see success on the marketplaces but didn't have the tools or the wherewithal to get onto them themselves. And so that's where I left the e-commerce world as a retailer, being on that side of the fence, and took the plunge into entrepreneurship as a solutions provider, as a SaaS business provider with Sellbrite. And I'm now founder of Sellbrite, co-founder rather. My partner Brian is here with me. Brian and I met working at CPO, and he was working on the marketplaces side of that business as well. So a lot of experience between the two of us. We're now a team of 20 here in Pasadena, California, and we cater to small brands and retailers doing, you know, up to really up to about 10 million is our sweet spot, but we have some customers that are doing 50, 60, $70 million a year, and helping them manage their data across multiple shopping carts and marketplaces.
Love that. And one of the things that I really like about your story too is that I think so many of the best solutions in terms of software and services come out of an evolution, not just like one day, like, oh, let's start a company to help people sell on marketplaces. Like, I don't know who just thinks of that idea in the shower, but like you experienced this pain. Like, you saw more and more people are buying on marketplaces like Amazon and eBay, and then it was really expensive and hard to do it. And so you built your solution for it. And now, so taking a step back for the people who aren't quite sure what we're talking about, this is something called multi-channel selling, right?
Yep.
Awesome. And so a little high-level overview for people who aren't sure. You're the expert. How would you explain multi-channel retail?
Yeah, well, it's really straightforward. I mean, quite simply, it's selling on multiple sales channels. It's getting your products in front of buyers wherever they shop. It's making sure you have as much exposure as possible for your brand, but also making sure you're delivering on your brand promise in all those places. Quite simply, it's extending your reach to all of your potential customers wherever they shop.
Right. And these are places like Amazon, Jet.com, Walmart, those sorts of sites?
Yep, totally. So there are marketplaces that are pure marketplaces where the buyer and the seller are the only two players interacting. Those are eBay, Etsy. I don't believe Jet.com falls in that category anymore, but they're more of a marketplace with an angle. So Amazon, Walmart, these are marketplaces that also wade in the waters and sell their own product. So as a marketplace seller, you may be competing with the marketplace itself for the attention of the buyer. But all of them are viable outlets for a seller that has their own product and their own brand. And all of them offer something a little bit different, you know, a different customer set, a different style of shopping experience, a different niche of products, you know, kind of category focus. There are more and more niche marketplaces for specific verticals. But yeah, the general concept is whatever can make sense and help you grow your business, finding a way to take advantage of that.
Nice. Yeah. It's not complicated, but yeah, that's it. And so
not in theory,
not in theory. Then you go try to do it. And that's when you're like, oh my goodness, how the heck do I do this? And so before we jump there, which I want to get to that, like I'm a Shopify store owner. What am I missing out on by not selling on these marketplaces? And why should I get started on doing something like this if I'm not already?
Yeah, well, you know, the obvious main problem that this solves is increasing your sales. So if you're trying to break through a growth plateau, or if you have the capacity to increase your operation and you're ready to do that, then you need to be selling on multiple channels. Shopify actually published a report this May detailing how their merchants selling on multiple channels were generating 190% more revenue than simply single store owners. Our data actually shows that figure is even higher for multi-channel sellers, but we also integrate into more platforms than Shopify does. So, you know, some really strong data there. I think that was published by their Shopify Plus team recently, because they're really making a push by Plus. There's a lot of great content that they're putting out, but it's certainly a telling figure. In addition to that, and this data is kind of hard to find, but we do our best to kind of stay abreast of all the recent findings, because the trends are moving so quickly and the growth is happening so quickly. But in 2016, something like 45% of all global e-commerce sales came from the handful of the largest online marketplaces. So like the top 20 or so marketplaces were responsible for nearly half of all global e-commerce sales, which is really incredible, considering how many big brands there are out there with their own direct properties that you can shop from. And then this past year in 2017, the growth on these marketplaces was incredible. I think that the top 50 marketplaces all grew more than 50%, with like the top handful of them all growing, you know, triple digits and more. Obviously, we're seeing in Amazon's numbers and Jeff Bezos being the richest man in the world, like the type of growth rate that they're having. Now they supplement that with growth in a lot of other areas as well. But there's no denying that the trend is favoring growth on these marketplaces. And that's likely going to continue, because the market dynamics here are changing and the atmosphere for buyers and sellers is changing. The path to purchase for a shopper is increasingly nonlinear. Customers are doing more browsing and more research than really ever before. And on top of that, marketplaces are solving for the shopping experience at a faster rate than anyone else can, because they have way more data than anyone else. I want to talk about this as it relates to kind of a challenge, but marketplaces are so customer focused and friendly that they really favor buyers over sellers. So any seller that can handle the growth that comes with selling on marketplaces should be planning for channel expansion. They just need to be fully aware of what that's going to entail and how hard it can be.
Nice.
And really quickly, I want to touch too on what you said about starting a company with something that you know. And you're absolutely right. Like it's never been easier to start a business. It's never been easier to start a software business or a retail business. And you don't have to have experience in a particular area to start a company. But to continue to grow a company and to deal with the challenges that arise, to understand how to make strategic product decisions, to understand and foresee where the market might be going and the industry might be going, to pull in all of the data points and kind of color commentary that goes with being an entrepreneur and being able to endure the challenges that are you're gonna face, does require having a really deep understanding of what it is you're trying to solve, why you're doing what you're doing. And the same is true with retail. You know, retailers, brands that know the category well of the products that they are manufacturing or the products that they're designing always have an advantage. And it's, if you're out there and you're even just thinking about a retail business around something that you love or your hobby, that's absolutely enough reason and reason for optimism and hope to get started on your own, and to get started, you know, building your first product or testing out your idea, or even just building a marketing page that's one simple page to test the theory of what your product would be, to try to see if you could even acquire some traffic. But can't overstate having familiarity with your industry and being able to identify with the pain points of your customers, and, you know, knowing how to deliver value, but also knowing like what's essential for the shopper or for your customer and what's not, and kind of being able to cut through all that fat, if you know what I mean.
For sure. Yeah. And that kind of brings me to my next point, which is like, there's a lot of money out there in these marketplaces and they're growing every year. But it's hard to sell in these marketplaces. And even that, like, there's challenges that come with this. And I want to touch on those. But at the same time, is this something that everyone should do?
I am hard pressed to get legitimate reasons why it should not be considered. The only real reasons why somebody should not be selling on multiple channels is not really because of the concept of multiple channels. It's more channel by channel basis. So if you have a brand relationship that says, I don't want you selling on Amazon, or we don't want our product showing up, you know, here or here, while with some scale, you'll lose that control anyway, and somebody's going to get access to your product and start reselling it. That's one of the few legitimate reasons. Or, you know, you sell MAP products, you know, minimum advertised price products, and you know that people are on a marketplace violating MAP, and the brand is, or the manufacturer is not doing anything about it. If you're a retailer or a reseller, that's oftentimes an issue, particularly a reseller of more kind of commoditized branded product. But really, I mean, there's no reason to not consider it. The growth opportunity in and of itself is absolutely there. I mean, it's undeniable. But it's just a matter of, are you ready to handle what it's going to entail? And, you know, there are a number of challenges. So, you know, if you're going to go into to get started with multi-channel selling, there's definitely a lot to consider. But the main thing is you're dealing now with you kind of have your own business that you know, and you've maybe built from scratch, and now you're going to go and you're going to deal with some other companies. You're going to go from, if let's say that you just have a Shopify store. You are the master of your domain. You know, you own the building. You control how it looks. You control how everything is laid out. You control pricing. You control kind of who is doing what. With a marketplace, you're now a tenant in somebody else's building, right? And that's kind of a metaphor for just in general, dealing with the channels is the hardest part of multi-channel selling. So I guess the flip side of my last point about marketplace is solving for the shopping experience. And doing that really, really well is that they're really less worried about the seller experience. So things are often going to be more challenging for the seller than they're going to be for you as a buyer. Every marketplace is totally different and they all do things differently. They all call things different names, even though they might be the same things. And so while you're seeing more standardization on the shopper side, that doesn't necessarily hold true for the seller. But that's kind of a broad stroke, challenge. More tactically speaking, managing data in general is the biggest challenge. So with more channels comes more opportunity for things to get out of sync. The key to being successful on a marketplace is managing all of your data from really from one place and having updates that you can ensure happen continuously, happen rapidly, to make sure that everything stays in sync. So that includes product attribute changes. You know, if you make change to your descriptions, your images, your shipping dimensions, you know, things that it can that can impact margin significantly, making sure that those make it up to all of your sales channel touch points. Managing inventory quantities. The number one fear for any marketplace seller is overselling, because that can rapidly lead to losing your selling privileges and being kicked off the marketplace and, you know, potentially being banned. And then order and fulfillment status updates, things like that. So if you can get a hold of managing all that and you have a good process in place for that, that is going to either make or break you as a multi-channel seller. Getting product onto the channel for the first time is one of the biggest tasks that smaller brands deal with. You know, kind of like what I said with CPO, we were fortunate to have a data team that helped us aggregate product data. We were reselling products from these brands. You know, they weren't our own products. And that's always, you're always at a disadvantage if you're a reseller versus being a brand where you control and own your own data. But our data team was able to at least start to aggregate that. And work on getting that populated into our system, and in some cases directly added to the sales channels. But smaller brands, smaller companies aren't able to dedicate a team of folks to constantly update product data, to search for product data on all of their touch points, on all their sales channels. So being able to make changes once and have those changes propagate to all of your sales channels is key for a small company that's trying to manage this type of strategy. And at the end of it all, as a small brand, it's really crucial for you to maintain a consistent brand experience whenever and wherever possible. That includes all of your imagery, your descriptions, and your brand voice, you know, how you like to interact and talk to your customers, customer service, and how you perform those duties and the fulfillment experience. Some channels make this harder than others. I mean, Amazon likes all of its sellers to be very cookie cutter and to look and feel the exact same, and really limits any type of creative expression at all. But that doesn't mean you can't add a personal touch on your support messaging, on your packaging, on the out of box experience, and all that stuff. So definitely not a small undertaking. I mean, there is a lot that goes into the execution of that multi-channel strategy. And oftentimes for small brands, they don't realize it until they get into it, which is totally normal and totally fair. I mean, there's not, it's a relatively new phenomenon in e-commerce, and e-commerce moves pretty quick. So, you know, quite often we see a brand that is not prepared with their data, that wants to expand to marketplaces, but doesn't have all of their imagery ready or doesn't have their descriptions ready and things like that. You know, if you are at least in control or own your data in one place, whether that's your Shopify store or wherever, you're going to have a leg up. And from there, it's just about finding the right tools.
Awesome. And so now that we know what we're missing out on, like there's this, we said multiple times this episode, there's this huge opportunity on these marketplaces, but there's also these challenges. Like, what's the easiest way to get started, and how do I get started on achieving these results you've talked about, but and avoid as many of these challenges as possible and start with the least friction?
Yeah. Well, I would say the best way is to have good tools at your disposal. You know, and that starts with your website. I mean, that's the reason Shopify is so successful, because they make a good tool for putting up a branded presence and making it easy for people to check out and buy stuff from you. But having good tools is going to make your life a lot easier. And in particular, we're talking about now inventory management, things that are in that realm. There are a lot of different kinds of software out there that play in the realm of inventory management, but most of them aren't really built to handle the specific needs of modern day brands, in particular ones that are trying to expand and reach more customers. The reason is that when it comes to channel integration, you know, it's a relatively new concept for inventory management solutions, and inventory management software has been around since, well, as long as there's been retail, really. Even if you go back to, you know, using an abacus and keeping things in big burlap sacks, still inventory management. I just watched a special on the rise of the Hamburg port and the merchants of the Hamburg port on History Channel. So I've got the burlap sack merchant in the back of my head.
That's great.
But So those integrations with the channels are oftentimes limited or relatively shallow. Most of these types of solutions really manage inventory quantities or fulfillment status changes or a combination of those, or they're wholesale focused, or they're B2B focused, or supply chain focused. I mean, there's so much that goes into the back office of a growing retail operation that, you know, most of these tools are kind of built for larger brands that have a lot of moving trains that need to run on time. And it's stuff that's critical to scale, but it's not going to help you get product in front of a customer, and it's not going to drive more sales. It's like after you take the sale, then all this software can really kick ass and help you. But what's going to help you actually get more sales and get onto the platform? So really what I would recommend is looking for a good listing tool that's going to help you push product data to the marketplace. Some of those tools will also help manage inventory and manage order data as well. If you're wondering what listing tool I recommend, well, that would be the one that we make, which I think is a pretty good one. Sellbrite. Yeah. So
link in the show notes.
Yeah. I mean, we focus on making a super easy tool to use, one that's fast, and one that has really good support. So if you get confused, we're right there to answer questions. But we improve our software often. We're always making changes to keep up with the changing marketplaces. And that's actually one of the hardest things, is that these marketplaces are constantly changing things. They're adding new minor features, major features, things that sellers can take advantage of, things that if sellers don't plan for, they're going to get completely screwed. You know, how you have to manage your inventory, like all these things. And it's constantly evolving. So you want to have a software partner that is staying, abreast of all those changes, that is able to react and not leave you out high and dry. We also try to make our software affordable. So that's one of the things that really differentiates us, is we're focused on the long tail of brands. I mentioned that we have some pretty big customers, but the vast majority of our customers are, $500,000 in revenue to maybe 2 or 3 million. And we have a lot that are smaller than that. And we have plans that are super affordable for businesses that are just getting started. But Sellbrite has a fantastic Shopify integration, and we're always improving that integration. In fact, a lot of our customers use Sellbrite to list product, not only to the marketplaces, but to their Shopify store. So if you're out there and you're saying, hey, I'm not actually yet selling on my own store, that's something that we help out a lot with. We can help. If you're an Amazon seller only and you're looking to move on to Shopify, that's a use case that we run into quite often. We focus on the listing side of things. We also do really fast inventory syncing, and we can do order fulfillment and keep all of your order statuses updated, make sure that you fulfill all of the requirements for the marketplace to update the customer when things are needing update. But if you have more advanced inventory needs as you grow, there are a lot of other great tools. And, whether that is a need for a supply chain type of tool, if you have like warehouses around the country and you need better warehouse management, we have partners that focus on those types of things. If you're, more B2B, there's just so many different types of solutions. So I would recommend, if anyone's out there and they're saying, great, well, I'm looking for a good tool to help me with inventory management because what I'm doing right now isn't quite advanced enough for me. A company that we partner with, it's called SalesPad. They make a really great cloud-based tool that's really affordable. If you're in that point where you're starting to scale, and by affordable, I kind of benchmark everything against Channel Advisor, who in our space is the 800-pound gorilla and a difficult product to work with, super expensive, very expensive implementation. Right. It's just very over inflated.
They charge a percentage of revenue too, right?
Percentage of revenue. Setup you fees. Have to declare. Yeah. And you have to declare how much revenue you're going to do in a year. And if you do more without declaring it, then they penalize you with an even bigger percentage. Like it's just fucking crock, man. I don't understand how these guys are still doing it, but
I don't care how you convince anybody to use your platform.
I don't either.
I guess that's really how hard it is to sell on these marketplaces, that they could just, before you guys got in the game, it was like that easy. It's just like, yeah, this is so painful. Fine. We'll pay it.
Yeah. And they're realizing that they have to continue to go up market to the biggest of the biggest, because it's the only area where they can, I think they've kind of built this infrastructure too, where it's, they rely on bigger companies because the sales process is so intense and they have such a big sales team. But it's, I'll just to wrap that up by saying we're trying to make the easiest software that we can. And it, continues to get more and more comprehensive. And there's very little that a company like that can do that, that Cellebrite can't do. Also, so I mentioned SalesPad for, more advanced inventory management. Ordoro is another tool that does like warehousing and fulfillment that's pretty affordable, easy to use. There's a company called TradeGecko that I recommend that does B2B and wholesale stuff. And we integrate or are working on integrations with all of those guys. That's a little bit about the tools and Cellebrite. But also, when it comes to what to do next, just know that there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to learn about these different channels. And it's not going to happen overnight. Not only do some of the channels require application and approval, which can take time and delay things and set you back, especially if you're eager to see growth. But they all have their own idiosyncrasies and ways of doing things. So in this case, the internet is your friend. Never trust everything that you read on the internet, but it's definitely a great source of what to look out for, recommendations, reviews. If you're looking for tools still and you don't want to take my word for it, totally fine. Go read some reviews. You're going to get the best information that you can, by and large, from your fellow sellers and your fellow brands. It's an iterative process. So you'll try something, it might not work. You continue to work at it. Going back to what we said earlier of realizing, how to be selective with your time, finding something that works. It's like anything else. When you expand to your first, or rather your second channel, it's like opening a second business that is, a cousin of your first business. It's going to have its own quirks. It's going to have its own processes, your own rules that you have to follow. You're likely not going to be the owner of the building anymore. So things just take time to kind of figure out.
Totally. Yeah. And lots of great points there. And I'll link up all of those tools in the description or in the show notes. I always say description. But yeah, I'll link up all those tools in the show notes below. And now you've shared a lot of great points about why people should sell, how to get into it, a lot of the pains, a lot of the opportunity. As we wrap up here, if someone is experiencing these pains that you mentioned, but they're ready to expand, take their business to the next level by expanding to another marketplace, what should they do next? Where can we go to learn more about what you do?
Yeah. Well, if you're specifically curious to read about Cellebrite, you can come to our website. Cellebrite is Cellebrite. So if you remember Light Bright, at least I do from when I was a kid. Or even Rainbow Bright, which my sister played with. That's our kind of bright. We're not the B-R-I-G-H-T folks, although there's nothing wrong with them. So cellebrite.com is where you can learn a little bit about our solution. We publish all of our pricing. It's very transparent. We also have a really killer blog where we try to synthesize data from what our customers are doing. We try to keep abreast of trends and things that are now available on channels. We're trying to do more and more webinars and things like that to educate sellers that kind of stem from our blog as well. So it's a great resource as you're looking to expand. We talk about some basic things like, why do I need SKUs on my products? It's kind of some of the basic plumbing that you're going to have to encounter when you expand to multiple channels. It's kind of like buying a house. You got to inspect all that stuff and have a kind of come to Jesus moment, but that's a great place to learn a little bit about us. I'd also recommend if you're a Shopify seller, going into the Shopify App Store, taking a look at what is out there. I mean, there's a lot of great tools that are inventory focused, that are fulfillment focused, and Cellebrite's in there as well. You can read a lot of reviews from our sellers. We've got a pretty good score in there. But that's definitely going to kind of steer you in the right direction and get you all the information that you need.
Love it. Awesome. So I'll link everything up in down in the show notes below. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast, Michael, and sharing all of that awesome info about multi-channel selling.
My pleasure. I really appreciate you having me on. And I love talking about this stuff. I tend to be pretty blunt. I try to keep things as above board as possible. but, you know, I spend a lot of time talking to brands retailers. And we're not a consultancy, but I find myself doing a lot of mini kind of strategy and consulting with customers just because it helps me stay top of mind of what's important. Ultimately, we feed that back into our software. But if you know you're out there and you've got more questions, or you know you have some kind of strategy problems, or you're trying to figure out if it's the right time for you to expand, don't hesitate to shoot us an email. You can find our contact information on our website. We have live chat available on the website. We also have a place to send us messages, or you can just email our support team and it'll make its way to me. And that address is support@sellbright.com. But yeah, we're always happy to chat with brands out there that have questions on how we can help them or how they can help themselves.
Awesome. Love it. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Michael.
Cool. Thanks, Dylan.
Now, listener, before I sign off, stop me if this sounds familiar. Your email marketing is stuck. You feel like you could be doing email better. You're not generating enough email revenue, and you feel like you're leaving money on the table. But you don't have the time to figure email out yourself or do it on your own because you have a business to run. Imagine this. Imagine not having to worry about leaving money on the table with your email marketing. Imagine not having to figure out what to send, when to send it, how many emails should look, what automation you need, what segments you need, how often you should be contacting your email list, or just worrying about sending the next email. You don't have to worry about any of that. Imagine having peace of mind knowing that your email marketing is generating sales in good hands. At Wavebreak, we help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. That's it. We don't do anything else. And we've created a system called the Wavebreak Method that, number one, makes you less dependent on Facebook or other marketing channels. Let's say something bad happens. Facebook says, "See you later, Shopify store," and they just completely kill your ad traffic overnight. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress because you're good to go because you have a cushion of email revenue. You don't have to worry about how or what your wife is going to do or if you're going to be able to make rent or if you're going to be able to pay people because you have this cushion of email revenue to rely on. Number two, the second thing this does is huge. And it's how stores scale from 7 figures to 8 figures to 9 figures. And the secret is repeat purchases. The Wavebreak method gets rid of one-time buyers and increases repeat orders. Number three, it keeps your email list engaged. You don't have to worry about Black Friday and beyond. We'll figure out the ideal amount of times that your list needs to be contacted to maximize revenue, and then we'll execute it for you. If you want to learn more about this system and how we can work together to apply it to your business, go to wavebreak.co to schedule a call with me. And I'll personally send you my calendar link and we can chat one-on-one. Now, I don't have unlimited time to do these calls. I can only do a couple of them per week. So if you want to get your call, go sign up at wavebreak.co for it as soon as possible and we can talk about how we can work together. Thanks for listening to this episode. Subscribe to the show on iTunes to get notified of new episodes as soon as they drop.